Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music that we've received this morning, and what a blessing it's always as we come to church and we're able to sing congregational songs. We ministered through that, and then the specials, it's always a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Romans in chapter 5, Romans in chapter 5, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 9, Romans chapter 5. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord, thank you for making a way for all that are here to be here. And now, Father, as we open up the precious holy word that you have preserved for us, and we look in this book of Romans, in this chapter 5, I know that you have much to teach us through this and great help available to us. And I just pray, God, that you would once again anoint the preaching of thy word. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Bible says, therefore, being justified. Being justified. And then down in verse 9, it says, much more than being now justified. Being justified. Are we aware of what being justified does for us, those who have been justified? I think that many have been justified and you don't even understand. We don't understand exactly what it means and what it does for us. To be justified, biblical justification means to be set free from the penalty of sin. Yeah. Set free from the penalty of sin. And we know that, yes, it brings to us peace with God, verse 1. Praise the Lord for that. That means we've been reconciled to God and now there's peace between us and God. And that we are saved from the wrath, or the wages of sin, which is hell, eternal damnation. But can I tell you, being justified means so much more to us. And we're going to be looking at some of those things that are so much more. But first of all, what we have to understand, just because a person says they're saved does not mean that they are saved. Just because a person might have been told that they have done whatever it takes in order to have everlasting eternal life and to be found justified before God doesn't mean that they are. So first of all, we must know if we have or have not been set free from the penalty of sin or been justified. The Bible says in chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, by faith. Our part is faith. It goes on down, verse 9 says, but much more than being justified by his blood. That's his part. That's what God did for us. And we'll see a little bit more about that in just a little bit. But our part in knowing that we have been justified is by faith. The Bible says, therefore, being justified. Now, as Paul's writing here, he says, therefore, meaning that we go back and understand what he said and what he taught before he presented this understanding that we have been justified by faith. As we look back in chapter 4, it's a great chapter in the Bible. I'd encourage you to go home tonight, this afternoon, and read that. Therefore, it takes us back to chapter 4, which reveals Abraham, which was the father of the founding Israel, the children of God in the Old Testament. And God used Abraham and used him greatly in the Old Testament. But chapter 4 takes us back and it says concerning Abraham, because now Paul wants to get to the New Testament Christianity. He wants to get the Jews that had put their faith and trust in the law to understand that was a school teacher. That was something that prepared the way for ultimately Jesus Christ to come, to establish for that. Israel paved the way for that. But this is what God had in view all the time, is this New Testament Christianity, because this is how it's going to end. As life as we know it, and this earth as we know it, it will end with this New Testament Christianity and what people have done with their belief and their faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago. And so we go back to chapter 4 and we understand how he uses the life and the example of Abraham to bring them to this New Testament understanding of justification. So it takes us back, therefore takes us back. In verse 2 and 3 it says, for if Abraham were justified, okay, wanted to use that term again, set free from the penalty of sin, if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. He could glory in his works, being a good man, being a good person, being able to give a lot of money, whatever it might have been. You cannot purchase salvation. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot work your way into heaven. It says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scriptures? Abraham believed God. Believing God is faith. Faith to believe God. So Abraham believed God and it was counted. What was counted? His belief was counted unto him for righteousness, which justifies us. The righteousness of Jesus Christ and the payment of sin brings to us justification. So he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness, belief in God's word. Now we have God's eternal word before us. We have more of the revelation of God today than ever before. Yes, we have the Old Testament scriptures and they paved the way for the New Testament teachings of Christ. But now we have the full revelation in that we have this New Testament Christianity, the teachings of Christ. And so this is the words of God, belief in the word of God, counted unto him for righteousness. In verse 5, the Bible says, go back chapter 4 and verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, I love that. Jesus justifieth. He's the one that Bible says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth. He's the one that justifies. Yeah. Chapter, if you go back, if you will, remember chapter 5 and verse 9, being much more being now justified by his blood. So we understand being justified by his blood is what he's talking about when he says that he has justified, of him that is justified, the ungodly. His faith, faith is counted for righteousness. So our faith is counted for righteousness. our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ and what he did in his precious blood being shed for our sins, to cover us from our sins, our belief in that is what God looks to. And once you have belief in that and you have faith in that, then it's counted unto you for righteousness. It's like, it's a pardon, if you will. A pardon is someone who admits guilt. If you're going to be pardoned for something, you have to realize, yeah, no, you're guilty of that. And you deserve whatever that punishment of that guilt was. But if you've been pardoned, then you admit the guilt, but it is counted as being innocent. Meaning that you're going to get the benefits of being innocent, and you're going to be released from the judgment, from the penalty. Get out of jail, get out of prison, whatever it might be. A pardon, not that you were not sinned, not that you did not do it, not that you did not commit the crime, but you acknowledge you did commit the crime, you are guilty, but a pardon is it's counted as being innocent. In chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8, he says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. That's all part of justification. That's all part of, by our faith and belief and trust in Jesus Christ and his blood, this is what we have received. Romans in chapter 3 and verse 23, not that we're sinless, not that we've ever been sinless, but we are guilty of sin and deserve the punishment of sin. He says in chapter 3, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not a one deserves a pardon. Not a one deserves forgiveness, cleansing. But he says, verse 24, being justified, there's that word again, being justified freely. It's a gift. Amen. Didn't earn it, didn't pay for it, didn't work for it. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now get a hold of this. Now this is something that you're going to forget. You're going to just kind of block it out because, oh, I know I'm saved. I know I'm justified. No, let's get down to it, because are you? We need to understand this to make sure that I know that I have been justified, saved, pardoned, if you will, free from the penalty of sin. Back over in chapter 4, again, he's using this example of Abraham. In chapter 4 and verse 20, he says, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Didn't have any unbelief. I mean, he was strong in what he believed in God's word. And being fully persuaded. Now, this is an example of Abraham in his salvation in the Old Testament. Very same faith that Abraham had, his belief in God's word, is how we are saved today. Belief in God's word and what God says. And being fully persuaded. Not a hope so, could be, maybe. No, fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. If God promised you salvation, if you meet the qualifications, if you believe and you do what the Bible says a person must do to be saved, to be justified, then you are fully persuaded and you understand this and you have this without any doubts. Yeah. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness, this faith, this belief. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us. Praise the Lord for that. The example of the entire Old Testament, the law and everything else, and Abraham. He said it was for us, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our, there it is again, justification. Yes, he truly believed in God's word, and it was counted for him for righteousness. And he was justified, as we must. As we must be. And I wondered this morning, are you fully persuaded? Can somebody talk you out of Jesus being the only begotten Son of God who died on Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago so that he would pay your sin debt, what you owed and couldn't pay? And because he paid your sin debt, he offers to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord salvation, justification. Can you be talked out of that? If you can be talked out of that, can I tell you, you're not fully persuaded. If you can be talked out of the Bible being the very words of God, listen to me, you're not fully persuaded and you don't truly believe in God's words. And yet it is belief in God's word that my salvation is dependent upon. Wow. How can a person truly believe and not want to learn more about their Savior and their Lord? Just a question there. How can a person truly believe and never give it another thought? Go ahead and live in life without having a desire to learn about Jesus? If someone you believed in, now listen to me, someone that you believed in asked you if you wanted to make a lot of money. I'm not talking about a scam artist, okay? We have those all the time. You know, I'm calling, texting, whatever, it's on my phone. I got to delete, you know, hang up. But somebody that you believed in and said, do you want to make a lot of money? Maybe somebody that you believed in asked you, do you want to live a longer life? Now, again, these are things that most people would want to have, and that's why the scam artists take advantage of this. I've got a pill that you can take and make you give add ears to your life. I'm not talking about a scam. I'm talking about somebody that you believed in. Possibly ask you, do you really want to lose weight? People are making billions of dollars on people's desire to lose weight without exercising and eating right. A miracle pill. You can eat whatever you want to do. Never have to exercise. Never have to eat. You can eat whatever you want, whatever amount you want. Just take this pill. You're going to lose weight. Yeah, no, it ain't happening. But I'm talking about somebody that you believed in. If somebody come to you and said, do you want to truly overcome stress? Do you want to eliminate stress from your life? Or do you just want to feel like you're in your prime? Yeah. If you truly believed in them, how could you not want to learn more? If you truly believe them, because these are issues, these are buttons that people push to make money because they know that this is something that pretty much appeal to all people. No one wants to have to suffer pain and anguish and stress, and no one wants to think about dying. You want to stay as youthful as you can. No one wants to think about being poor, but you want to have money so you can be able to do different things. These are buttons that people push that try to make money off of you. But if you truly believed in them because you want this, how could you not want to learn more? If you truly believed in them, you have to believe to be justified. It's not a scam. Christianity is not a scam. Christianity is not a game people play. It's not for the weak-minded. It is reality based upon an almighty creator God. Amen. And we have the history of humanity that reveals it. How could we not want, if we truly believed, how could we not want to learn more about our Savior and Lord? If you know that you've been justified, if you know that your faith is there, it would be fully persuaded. You can't talk me out of it. No matter what scientists might discover, no matter what philosophers might say, no matter what might come down the way, I am confident in my belief in Jesus Christ. I am fully persuaded that we have the very words of an almighty God written down for us to learn. Fully persuaded. That's justification. That's what is dependent upon. Belief, faith. If I have that, listen to me. Yes, peace with God. Yes, saved from the wrath. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to have to face the judgment of hell. I have peace with God. But there's something else that I want you to get a hold of here. If you know that you've been saved, this is what's available to you. The Bible says in verse 2 of Romans chapter 5, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We stand in His grace. Definition of grace: God's love, an unmerited favor. No matter who you are, what your past, what you've done, God's love and His favor is unmerited. It means it doesn't matter your past. If you have faith to believe Jesus Christ died for your sins and offers you everlasting life, if you'll just simply believe and trust and receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior, if you have faith to believe that, you have been justified. And as you have been justified, then you can stand in His grace. You can stand in His love, and you can stand in His favor. That makes all the difference in the world. If you know that you're saved and you understand what it brings to you this understanding of grace, God's love and unmerited favor. In this passage, grace is looked upon as a place or a position, and that is standing in His presence. Every hour of every day, no matter where you are, where you have been or where you're going, you're standing in His grace. 1 Peter chapter 3, amen. That ought to cause you to say hallelujah, praise the Lord. Even if you don't do it out loud, inwardly you ought to be shouting glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says this: for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might, look right here, bring us to God. If you've been saved, then you have been brought into the presence of God. He will bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Stand in His presence. If you know that you are saved, then you can know that you have been justified. And if you know that you've been justified, you can know that you stand every minute of every day of every month of every year, stand in the presence of a God who loves you and favors you. Look what Paul says back in Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews in chapter 13. Along the same line, Paul says this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He says, let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, this is what we have. If you've been justified, if you know that you're saved, this is what you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you're at, no matter what's taking place around you, you might boldly say, because your faith is undeniable, your belief in God is unchangeable. He says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Never lose sight of that. If you know that you're saved, if you know that you've been justified, never lose sight of, I stand in the presence and in the grace of an almighty God. I'll never be forsaken. He'll never leave me. What a blessing to know this. Sad to say, most Christians don't know that because they've not continued to learn what God wants us to know. But not only do we stand in his grace, go back with me, because this is what takes place when you've been just, if you've been truly justified, that means you have been truly been saved. And you are a child of God. You stand in his grace. In verse 2, he says this in chapter 5. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope. Rejoice in future facts that have been promised to us by God. Hope in the Bible is future facts that through faith we have this hope, because faith, I believe God, I believe his word, I believe his promises. And so this is the, through faith we have this hope, which is future fact, and I rejoice in all of them. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and verse 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. It's future fact, even though you can't see it. Basically is what he's saying there. But you can, your faith tells you it's true. Your faith, your belief tells you that it's true. And if you know it to be true, then you can rejoice in those future promises that God has given to us. Amen. This last week, we had 3 funerals in the church, loved ones. And in every one of those, I was able to encourage and allow the grieving loved ones to rejoice because of hope. The promises of God to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And every one of those was able to encourage them and say, hey, this is just a house that they lived in. They're not there. They're not dead. They're not in a grave. They're not in a tomb. He said, listen to me. They are alive spirit. Their spirit is with the Lord today, right now. And even though you're going through a lot of mourning and a lot of grief and a lot of voids in our lives, we can rejoice in this hope. Because God says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to think of our loved ones present with God, listen to me, that calls for rejoicing. If you have been sanctified, if you have been justified, if you know that you have been saved, listen to me, you have these things. You can stand in His grace and you can rejoice in His hope no matter what is taking place in your life. Yeah. It's part of the benefits of a no-so salvation. You can rejoice because of biblical hope. And there's so many promises that God gives us. And we can rejoice in every one of them at any moment in time. At any moment in time, you get depressed. You get feeling sad. Find one of those promises. And know that you have, if you have faith to believe Jesus Christ as Savior, you can have faith to believe in these promises. And if you have faith to believe that to be true, it'll cause you to do what? Rejoice. Amen. No matter what's going on around you, no matter what you're going through, listen to me, we can find this joy of the Lord and we can rejoice in this hope. It's part of truly being justified. And one other thing. Go back with me, chapter 5. Can't leave here without looking at this last thing. Verse 3. And not only so, not only can we stand in His grace and not only can we rejoice in His hope, but look what He says right here. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. You say, now, preacher, wait a minute. You mean I can even glory in tribulations and going through some of those painful and some most troubling times in my life? The Bible says yes. He says if you have all this, He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. But the key to glorying in tribulations is this, knowing. Now, He goes on to say, knowing that tribulations work with patience and patience experience, but knowing. What God wants us to know. If you don't know it, you can't glory in tribulations. If you don't know it, you might be justified, but you're not going to stand in His grace. If you don't know about it, you might be saved, you might be justified, but if you haven't grown in your understanding, you'll not rejoice in hope. Satan will blind you to grace. Satan will blind you to hope. He will blind you to God's perfect will and what He's doing in your life. We can glory in tribulations. Because knowing takes us back to faith. Knowing what I believe and why I believe it. It's based upon not emotions. It's not based upon feelings. It's not based upon philosophy. It's based upon one mighty thing. God's Word. Abraham had it. He believed God, what God said. We have it written down and preserved for us. We must believe it. If you're going to be saved, you have to believe it. If you're going to be able to stand in His grace, you have to believe it. If you're going to have to, if you're going to be able to rejoice in hope, and if you're going to be able to glory in tribulation, you have to, first of all, and most importantly, believe it. Fanny Crosby, you might know the name. Fanny Crosby was blinded when she was 6 weeks old because of a doctor's mistake. Left her blind. When she was 8 years old, she wrote this. Oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that others do not. So to weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, and I won't. She went on to do some amazing things for the cause of Christ. Our songbook is filled with songs that Fanny Crosby wrote, which she was saved at an early age. If she had not have been blind, she might not have been saved. If she had not have been blind, she would not have wrote many of these songs, if not any of them. In our own song, with just a few of those, is Rescue the Perishing. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Draw me nearer, close to thee. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Jesus is calling. Redeemed, I love to proclaim it. Tell me the story of Jesus. Praise Him, praise Him. She wrote all these. To God be the glory. Blessed assurance. Near the cross. And safe in the arms of Jesus. Wow. She was justified by faith. And she was able to stand in His grace, rejoice in His hope, and even find glory in tribulations. Justified. Do you know that you've been justified? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Focus on what God has spoke to you about through this message. If you're here this morning, I don't want to preach a doubting salvation. I don't want you to have to do that, but I want you to know. Is there a desire in your heart to learn more about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Is there a desire for you to worship Him, praise Him? If you truly believe in Him, I think that you would want to learn from Him and learn more about Him. Don't just have a hope-so salvation based on feelings or philosophies. God wants you to have a know-so salvation based upon your belief in His Word. If you have that, then you can learn how to have all these others. But it must begin with salvation. Being justified by faith. Father, we bow before You now. We love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the truth of Your Word. And Lord, I don't know, in a crowd this size, what's taken place in each and everyone's lives. But I know that You do. You know those that no doubt have been justified by faith. You know those that are confused. Confused thinking they're saved when they're not. Thinking they're lost when they're saved. I pray, God, that confusion would be clarified this morning. If there's not a definite understanding, I pray that they would come to this altar and leave here with a know-so salvation. Leave here being fully persuaded of what they believe based upon Your words. Bless now in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.